can you tell us about the organization you work for?
Absolutely. No, I work for L'Éveil de Promisiscoi. So I guess loosely that translates to awakenings. But L'Éveil Promisiscoi, we've been around for over 25 years now. We were founded in 1995. We are a community organization working in mental health, working for recovery. We cover a pretty big territory. It's all of Promisiscoi. So that's important for people to know that it's not just Knowlton or the town of Brome Lake. It's quite vast. It goes right out to Glen Sutton, right along the border there to Dunham, right to Lake Champlain at St. Armand, and all the way back up Farnham, Bedford, Cowansville. Anywhere that is Promisiscoi is my territory, and we're a team, pretty small team. That's important to keep in mind too. We're only five people. I'm the director general, and I've had that title since January, so I recently took over as boss. And the other big change that happened recently, we now do insertion socio-professionnelle in French, so socio-professional integration. What that means basically is we help people who are mentally ill get back into society. We help people who are in recovery find work or go back to school. If they're unable to do that because of their symptoms or the side effects of their medication, we help them find volunteer work. But we're really focused on the future. We don't do therapy. If people need therapy, that's fine. And we make sure they get that at the CLSC or privately or whatever they choose. We're not a psychiatrist. We don't prescribe medication either. And we're not for or against it. We're just for recovery. And we really help people who are recovering from mental illness get back into society. And we've been doing that for nearly 2 years now. We just sort of changed our mission 2 years ago to really help people focus on their future. And we've had miraculous results. Over the course of 25 years, too, we've been helping people. But since we've sort of made it really focused on the future, it's been great.
When I was reading your mission statement, I saw that you're not only involved in integrating people back into society, but you're also very in favor of education. Is that correct?
Absolutely. No, we spend a lot of time in school. I mean, to a point where it's not just, I mean, the service is for 16 plus. But for our whole prevention mission, we really wanted to reach out, and so much can be done to prevent mental illness in this society that we even go into elementary schools. I mean, I'm there every year at Career Day at Knowlton Academy to talk about my work in Knowlton. We go into the elementary schools all around, into the high schools a lot. My colleague Caroline is in Massé-Vanier a lot and at the adult education campus, and we really sort of demystify mental health. There's a lot of myths and realities. You know, we see what happened in Quebec City a few weeks ago, and unfortunately that's what makes headlines. So people, there's this whole notion that people who are mentally ill are dangerous, when if you look at the statistics, it's so much the opposite is true. They're so much more likely to be a victim of a violent crime or abuse or a criminal act than they are to be the perpetrator. Of course, you know, people, someone who goes off their medication, as what happened in Quebec, and the person during Halloween injured some people and actually killed two people, if I'm not mistaken. It's unfortunate that that's what catches headlines and not the thousands and thousands of stories of recovery, and that people think that because he's schizophrenic that he might be dangerous. It's really far from the truth.
Right. I couldn't agree more, and we've heard it all over that you really have to beat the stigma around mental health. So you mentioned that you help people find jobs or volunteering experiences, but do you also host support groups people could attend?
Absolutely. No, we do a lot of group stuff. Obviously, before the pandemic, everything was face-to-face, and it was really a lot easier. We were doing a group that was specifically for people who knew they wanted to get back either to work or to school, but it was sort of a long-term project. They didn't know what to do. Or some people, what they wanted to do needed quite a few years of schooling, and they were sort of at the brainstorming phase. So that was a group of eight people in a closed group with our père aidante. And what that means is père as in partner. And she herself is in recovery from mental illness. And she's part of the team as an employee now. So Louise Danielle is an amazing person. She's part of my team. And while I went to Bishop's University in Sherbrooke and learned about mental health, a père aidante learns about mental health very differently. It's from their own life story that they've learned about mental health. But we take them on as full employees, and they do the same work, helping people recover. So it's really wonderful to have someone like that on the team who helps us along, helps us understand. Of course, we've read about psychosis, we've read about depression, we've studied it in CGEP and university, but for someone who, having gone through it, to then animate workshops and help the people through, sometimes it really clicks for the person when they hear it from someone who's been through it and is now working full-time and is now happy and recovered and doing much, much better. It's really interesting to have someone like that on the team. It's a big thing. And in the Plan d'Action Santé Mentale that the government released a few years ago, they want to have père aidant everywhere, to have people who have been through it themselves everywhere. It's not something we're seeing as much in the réseau, in the hospital sort of area, but in community organizations, it's quite common to have a père aidant on the team, and she hosts those activities. We also have a weekly workshop, which we had to move virtual, especially now which means we can't do as much face-to-face because of the pandemic, but most of our members have Zoom or have Messenger. We've been doing a lot with Facebook Live. So you can really check out Livé on Facebook. If you put Livé, L'Evil, Rome-Missisquoi, into Facebook, you'll see our Facebook page. And that's the best place, I would say, because it's changing, especially with this big switch into the red. If someone's interested in participating in one of our workshops, please go ahead, follow us on Facebook. You can send the page a message. I admin the page, and I'll be able to help you and explain what's going on this week for the workshops, all of the group stuff. And it's a great way to recover, you know. I mean, I can help people along, and I think most people do start with an individual follow-up. But to see the group, to see them sort of get into it and start helping each other in the group, and, you know, half the time the caseworker just really backs off and lets the people help each other, and it's wonderful to see people, and real friendships get made, too. I mean, some people met in our workshops, and 5 years later, they're just the best of friends and help each other along. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the most important thing in mental health, is to not try and do it alone.
I agree. So during the pandemic, have you seen the demand for your services increase?
Absolutely, yeah. No, I mean, I think when it first struck in early March, people were very confused. And it wasn't just the people who were diagnosed with anxiety, it was just everybody, I mean, including members of the board and the team and members of the community, our partners, everyone was just freaking out. And it was very tough. Talking with someone on Messenger is one thing, but talking about your mental health over Messenger or over Zoom is very, very tough, and it can be very hard for people to do that. You know, it's not like ordering a pizza. Talking about your mental health, it's something, so much is in the nonverbal, so much is sitting in the privacy of an office with a caseworker, talking about recovery, talking about symptoms. And while we're not doing therapy, sometimes people do have to talk about childhood or to talk about the negligence or even abuse that they went through. You know, for us to understand their future, we have to have a portrait of their past. So that's tough to do over Facebook. It was really, really challenging at the beginning. But I'm really proud of my team. I mean, shout out to all of them for how they adapted to this. And the same thing with doing it often in my kitchen at home, especially when the daycare is closed down and we don't live alone. We have pets. I have a 4-year-old son. So to be talking with someone and to have him burst into the bedroom and jump on the bed, or have my wife have to come through it, or folding laundry, I mean, it was very, very tough. Mm-hmm. When everyone went into the travail. I think this time around it's a little different, it's a little better. At least the schools are open, so my son can keep going to Mansonville Elementary School. And at least if I do have to work from home a bit more, I can do it. But yes, our demands went through the roof, and it wasn't the same. Some people really adapted. I think for the younger kids, I mean, we take demands through Facebook, we take demands through our website. And for the younger generation that's just used to talking to each other on Snapchat, it was much smoother. I would say for the 50-plus gang, and especially for those like my dad, who is starting to use Facebook but doesn't really know how it works, I think it was a major, major adaptation for them, and it was really tough. Having said that, I think it pushed some people to sort of get connected and go out and buy a tablet or buy a laptop or figure out how their phone works finally and not just use it for calls. So while it was tough, and some people, you know, we did have some people even with suicidal thoughts and panic attacks and extreme reactions to it. We work a lot with the strengths of the people. We have the l'approche des forces, we say in French, where instead of asking what's going wrong this week, sometimes the first question is what's going well this week. And I think it was amazing to see some of the strengths of people really pulling together and people finding strength they didn't even know they had and using that to pull through this and help the neighbors and help each other, help their families to really get through it. So it was good and bad, but I think we adapted as best we could. And with what's coming, I mean, with seeing what's happening in the United States with hundreds of thousands of cases a day, I mean, I think it's not going to get that bad, but we are ready for wave two. Our people are adapted, and we're going to get through that as well, doing the best we can.
For people who are more nervous to reach out, do you offer your services in both French and English?
Absolutely. No, we're proud. I immigrated from England, so I'm perfectly bilingual, and I do help a lot of the Anglophones. But the team is fluent in both languages. Everybody speaks both, so that's really, really positive. We're proud. While we do share a lot of Francophone articles on our Facebook, I try as hard as I can to share some English as well. The website is completely bilingual. What has been tougher is offering workshops in English. It's not because we haven't tried. And that's something I would like to talk about. I think because the health system is so French, and I do say this completely without any judgment. Unfortunately, I think some Anglophones especially are reluctant to ask for help or to reach out. So if you're listening to this and you are suffering at home, if you feel you need help and you feel you can't get through this alone, reach out. Help is available in English. And, you know, half the time I get to do the evaluation, and what I see from the Anglophone community is they've waited longer before asking for help. which means the problem's often gotten worse before. It is your legal right to have someone accompany you to your family doctor, to your psychiatrist, to your psychologist. So don't forget that, too, if you want to go in and you're worried. And while a lot of the system, that they are Francophone healthcare workers, most of them will make a big effort to at least speak English to you. And while they might have an accent, or if you call for your appointment, the secretary might be Francophone, don't give up, you know, and just ask for those services. Ask them to speak English. Bring a bilingual friend along with you. And don't neglect mental health because of that, you know. I really want the Anglophone community to know that we are there for you. And it's tough. The hardest thing for me isn't finding them a job, but if they don't speak any French, sometimes it's not even the mental health that's an issue anymore. So again, we can help you learn French if that is what you need. We have a partner at the SACAMO who offers free French classes, and we'll work on that with you too. And we're proud to offer services in both languages. And even for unilingual Anglophones, we have found them jobs too. So do not give up. We can really help you with that. And I think a bigger effort needs to be made on both sides of the aisle for people to really work together on this. But having said that, I think things are changing. And that is my big message to the Anglophone community. Don't neglect your mental health because you think that services aren't available in English. They are.
That's great advice. So if somebody is in need of help, how can they reach out to you?
I would say the best way to reach out to me, especially during the pandemic, might be my email. I'll give my email address. Let me start with the website. It's eveilcowansville.com. So E-V-E-I-L, Cowansville, like the name of the town, .com. My phone number here at the office is 450-263-6240. 450-263-6240. If you're a resident of Bromasiskla, go ahead and call. We also offer a reference service. If you're not sure if you fit the profile of person that we help here at Livay, don't hesitate to call me anyway, and I'll make sure you get the help you need. Some people come, and we realize they need medication, they need therapy, they need a psychiatrist, they need a psychologist, they need a social worker. We can go ahead and at that point and get you that help. My email is tw@eveilcowansville.com, so you can go ahead and email me. You can shoot us a message on Facebook. If you put Livay Bromasiskla into Facebook, that's a great way to get a hold of us too. I used to always say just come and knock on my door, but especially being in the red zone, we're not able to do that anymore. We share an office building, and our partners and neighbors here have asked us to keep the doors locked, so we do work now on an appointment only. But go ahead, give me a call. I'll give the number one more time, 450-263-6240, and it's extension 3 for Tim Wisdom, and explain a bit about what's going on. You don't need a diagnosis to come here. Obviously, if it's a more severe problem, we would recommend you go and get that, and we'll help you go and get that with your doctor. With a diagnosis or not, you can come to Livay. If you think you have depression, if you think you've read a bit about it and that seems to be what's going on, then of course that's enough. Just give me a call, and we will help you. So please, don't wait any longer. We're here for you. The service is completely free. There's no fees for our service. You can become a member of Livay without paying a cent. And absolutely, no, I invite anyone 18 to 65 to go ahead and give us a call. And again, even if you don't know what you want to do, you don't need to have a plan yet. If you want to change something in your future and you want to recover from mental illness and do something, and some people come in and they want to be a veterinarian, and after working with the caseworker over the course of 12 months, they realize that because of their symptoms, because of their illness, that might be impossible to go back to finish high school and finish CJEP and do 4 years of university and go on to do a doctorate, or it might be too tough. So over the course of those 12 months, they might realize that they're going to stay on social aid. They're going to keep that money. They're going to stay on their medication. They're going to keep recovering from schizophrenia, and they're going to do 3 days a week of volunteer work at the SPA des Cantons here in Cowansville, walking the dogs or helping clean the cages and petting the kittens and feeding the animals. And they're just going to volunteer, and that's okay too. We don't consider that a failure. You know, I think some people, and we have to be realistic about this, working 40 hours a week can be really tough, you know. So if they choose to just volunteer a few days a week instead, that's a big win for us too. So when I say it's insertion at work, you know, don't always think of that 40 hour a week rat race that's what we want. It really isn't. Some people choose to do part-time work. Some people choose to finish their high school and go ahead and work 30 hours a week. Other people, yes, it is 40 hours a week. And we've helped people from so many different backgrounds. There's professionals, lawyers, architects, whatever, social workers, and people who have maybe never worked because of their condition and because of their side effects of the antipsychotic medication. They may have been on social aid for 20 or 30 years, but we believe that everyone can do something at Livay. And the worst thing to do, regardless of your diagnosis and mental health, is to stay home and watch the prices right every day. As important as that is once in a while to take a day off, the worst thing you can do is just stay in an apartment or stay in a house all the time. If you get out, you will start to need less medication. You will start to feel better once you start seeing people and just occupying your time like that. So I really invite anyone listening to give us a call, and we'll help you find something to bring your self-esteem back up and to make you feel better.
It really seems like your door is open for everybody, so that's very much appreciated. And thank you very much for sharing all that valuable information.
You're very welcome. We're here to help. And no, I definitely love what I do. I've been here 11 years now, and I do every day is very different. And we're here for everybody, even during the pandemic.
Wow. No, I really do feel that just speaking with you.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.